We present The Motion Show, Radio 4's answer to serious debating, with your chairman, Dr. Phil Hammond.
Thank you. Welcome to The Motion Show, Radio 4's version of schoolboy debating, but without the schoolboys. Instead, we've assembled the best verbal talent £50 and a return standard rail fare can buy. On my left, Steve Punt and John O'Farrell.
Hello.
And competing against them, on my right, Rona Cameron and Derek Draper.
Hello. Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, the speakers. Over the next 30 minutes, we'll be testing their powers of persuasion and oratory by asking them to debate a series of fascinating but essentially pointless issues. So let's get started. The first motion to be put before the House is... This House would like to emigrate to America. Miss Rona Cameron, would you please propose the motion? This House would like to emigrate to America.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to list a couple of words that, to me, describe America that I love. Coca-Cola, McDonald's, chewing gum, Starsky and Hutch, Star Wars, Elvis, Martin Luther King, The Graduate, Ellie, Confidential, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Baseball, Super Bowl, The Fonz, Sergeant Bilko, Hemingway, Capote, Melville, Walt Disney, Billy Wilder, Snow in Central Park, Levi's, for goodness sake, everyone, Woody Allen, Nike, all-day breakfast, yes, all-day breakfast, everyone, not poxy British breakfast that stop at 11 a.m. And I'm talking Bloody Marys with your breakfast on a Sunday morning. Way, that's right. And if you're going to show any enthusiastic response, I really appreciate if you give the American-style whoop. Because that's it. Woo! Because I think that's so much more emotional, and that's where we should be moving towards. Judy Garland, Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream, The Gap, Donna Karen, Happy Days, Seinfeld, Friends, Fraser, Larry, Sanders, for goodness sake, everyone. The baseball hat, everyone. The baseball hat. The leaders carved in stone and Hollywood. Now, you can't get better than that.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, point of order, Mr. O'Farrell.
Yes.
This is a fatuous argument. It's very hard to get into America these days. There are one or two things you can do to help your chances, but Rona might not feel that way about Bill Clinton.
May I reply, Mr.
Yes, Ms. Cameron, would you like to
yes,
reply to that?
Yes, I felt that that was absolutely nothing to do with what I was talking about. I was announcing to the audience a list of beautiful things about America.
Yes.
If you'd let me continue,
I agree
I shall
with you. Point of order, everyone.
Thank
Carry
you
on,
very
Ms.
much,
Cameron.
Mr. Chairman. Now, how many times I ask you all, ladies and gentlemen of the House, of the apartment, as we'll call it from now on, how many times in a party situation have we linked arms with the person next to us and sang in a melodic fashion those words, start spreading the news? And it doesn't just stop there. You can sing about Dixie, how much you love it. You can sing about Chicago. Because America is fantastic. The boys tonight, when they arrived here, my opposition, the first thing they ordered were donuts, ladies and gentlemen. They ate donuts from a donut takeaway. These are all vital parts of our culture. We're practically living in America now. But in Britain...
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, point of order, Mr.
Farrell. Point of order. The donuts we ate when we arrived here were actually a British invention. They were invented by Sir Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes! Point of order upheld. Would you please retract the remark about the donuts?
I retract the remark about the donuts.
Thank you. Carry on.
Let me tell you just a brief but touching story to persuade you to join me in my love for America. When I was about 11 years old, a boy moved into our housing estate. He was the first American I'd ever seen. His name was Wesley. He was beautiful. He had brown skin because he had summers in his country. He had a Paul Michael Glazier hairstyle and cut-off jeans. And ladies and gentlemen, he wore tube socks. Beautiful parts of American clothing that every day... Look at me. Do you like my top? Bought this in The Gap. I'm wearing fashionable cords from the Levi's store. We need America. We live in it. Deep down in your hearts, you are American and you want to live there. Join me all in an American whoop. Woo! Jerry Springer, ladies and gentlemen. I rest my case. God bless America.
Thank you very much, Miss Rona Cameron. Mr. Punt, I sense you might be up against it here. Please, would you take the lectern and oppose the motion this House would like, nay love, to live in America?
Mr. Chairman, I would be delighted to oppose this motion. I notice in Rona's list, first of all, she exhorts us to wear the baseball cap, a fashion item so fashionable, so stylish, that it appeals to William Hague. She then exhorts us to wear Levi's, not only a French name, but made of a cloth called denim, because it comes from Nîmes, de Nîmes, in the south of France. That's the thing about America. Everything that's good about it, they import from Europe. Ladies and gentlemen, let us remember the words of the song. I want to be in America. Everything free in America. Words which are supposed to be listened to with a sense of irony. Also remember the words of the great Bruce Springsteen, although of course not that great. Born in the USA, I was born in the USA. Words which also carry an enormous sense of irony, but which are listened to by Americans with tears in their eyes and cigarette lighters waving around in the air. Because Americans, ladies and gentlemen, have no sense of irony. Americans honestly believe that they live in the finest country on earth, and they so don't. And that's another thing that really irritates me about America. They continually infect our language with irritating phrases like, and they so don't, which invariably come from their sitcoms, which we're constantly told are so much better than ours, and which so are. Unfortunately. It has to be said that Americans, I'm afraid, are the most self-centered, the most arrogant, insular, and ignorant people on earth. They are worse than the French, and that is saying something. Consider life. Once you have emigrated to America, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, you can be shot by virtually anyone, because virtually anyone has a gun. They will then take you to a hospital where they
won't... Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, point of order, Ms. Cameron.
As we know in Britain, sadly, there's been an increasing amount of arms, and we also live in an equally violent society here. Thank you.
Now, point of order actually overruled, I would say America was still considerably more violent.
America is considerably...
Point of order, though, Chairman. At least you've got a chance to defend yourself in America, because you'd have your own gun.
Let's throw that open to the House. Those who would like to defend themselves with a gun, say aye.
Aye.
Those who don't wish any part of holding a gun, say nay.
Nay.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think you drew them into the picture clear enough. This is like, other people are pointing a gun at you at the time, all right?
I've already voted. The audience has spoken. Please carry on.
Anyway, following on being shot by virtually anybody, you will then be taken to a hospital where they will refuse to treat you until they've checked that you have health insurance. And if you write to your congressman to complain, you'll find he's too busy discussing really important things like impeaching the president for sex outside marriage. He, of course, is very lucky. The last president who was famous for that was shot. He, of course, had health insurance, but it was rather too late.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, point of order, Ms. Cameron.
Well, we put up with our royal family and politicians as well behaving in the same manner, so it makes no difference. It's irrelevant that Bill Clinton did
also,
the same.
Point of order, Chairman. You know that stain on the dress?
Yeah.
Well, if the Secret Serviceman can jump in front of a flying bullet, couldn't they have...
Yes, point of order upheld. Very fascinating point. Ballistics.
Ballistics, is that what they call it?
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, I wish to say that Americans are, of course, very proud of the fact they are a classless society. They are constantly saying that anyone in America can become president, but look at the ones who do. After the one who got shot, there was the one who fought a long, pointless war that achieved nothing apart from keeping Oliver Stone in work for the next 20 years. After that, there was the one who left office in disgrace. After that, there was the one chiefly remembered for not being able to fart and chew gum at the same time. After that, there was the one who was ridiculed for being a peanut farmer. This in a society where anyone can become president and your background doesn't matter. After that, there was the B-movie actor whose idea of responsible defense spending was space lasers to shoot missiles down before they land. And failing that, they would just get in touch with Obi-Wan Kenobi and get him to do it. Following that, there was his ex-vice president, the one who couldn't even hold down his lunch in public. Following that, there was, of course, the morally upstanding and marvellous Bill Clinton. But the principal reason why I would not want to live in America is, as my honourable colleague has already said, that we effectively already live there, ladies and gentlemen. American cultural imperialism is so prevalent, we already have their horrible fast food, their junk TV, their obsession with money, their vanity, their litigiousness, their styleless mail-order clothes, the obsession with slimming, and yet the obese population, their patronising news and their soundbite politics. We already have all that. The only thing we don't have is their murder rate and their mind-numbing AOR music. Let's keep it that way. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to oppose this motion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fan. Raina, yes. Why haven't you moved to America?
I'm going to move there next year.
Next year?
Yeah. I live an American life.
Right. I mean, John, presumably as a comedy writer, wouldn't you rather live in America and earn a vast sum of money writing something amusing than sitting in a bedsit with your word processor upstairs with no one to wear, writing some tosh?
If I wanted to go somewhere where there are lots of fat people walking around with guns, you know, I'd just get the train to Romford.
Fascinating. Well, let's see what our audience comments said about living in America. Here's what Sally, law student, has to say. More Americans die from handguns in one night in any major US city than died in the whole of the Gulf War. It's a disgusting cesspool of a place, but they make great ice cream. One of those extraordinary contradictions we've heard about America that make it so difficult to know which way to vote. Let's throw it out to our intelligent studio audience.
Don't be guilty, everyone. You know you love American TV. And
it's
you know
make
you
your mind up time. Let's hear it. If you want to go with Rona to the States, say aye.
Aye.
If you'd rather not, say nay.
Nay.
And the nays have it. Game to Steve Punt and John O'Farrell. Let's see how sharp your tongues can be in this next debate. As ever, it's one of those cutting-edge topics this House loves to shop. Mr. John O'Farrell, you look like a man who can spend. Please take the lectern and propose the motion that this House loves to shop.
Well, what could be more fun than going around a department store, buying new stereo, new video, new clothes, a couple of tellies, seeing just how much you can spend before the store realise you're using a stolen credit card. we love to shop because with the things we buy, we tell the world who we are. A tweed suit and hat says, I am a rich country squire. On the other hand, lots of big gold rings and pendants say, I am a successful drug pusher. Whereas tweed suit and lots of gold jewellery just says, I'm that prat who does the racing on Channel 4. There was a time when I didn't love to shop, and I'd leave my Christmas shopping so late that I had to get all my presents from the Texaco Mini Mart on Christmas Eve. But Mum seemed delighted with the bag of barbecue briquettes anyway. Another thing you might try is picking items out of people's trolleys and drawing a little line on the barcode and just seeing what they get charged for. We all love shopping. I love shopping so much that last January I actually queued overnight to make sure I was one of the first in for the sales. And I said to the people in the sleeping bags next to me, yeah, you're hoping to get a bargain? And they said, no, we live here. Yeah, these days it's all arranged, you know, to make you feel really at home. Last week I was in a department store. I was thinking of buying a television. And I said, excuse me, I can't find the remote control. And the assistant said, no, don't keep them here. Third floor, soft furnishings, down the back of one of the sofas. The only shops I refuse to frequent are those clothes boutiques. They're so posh, you have to ring on the bell for them to let you in. And you have to say, hi, I'm sorry to trouble you and everything, but I was thinking of giving you £200 for a pair of pants. So I commend the motion, because if there's no shopping, then old ladies would have to make 5 less trips out of the house every day. If there was no shops, then 12-year-old boys would have nothing to drive their stolen Range Rovers into. And if we didn't shop, then we wouldn't be able to choose the clothes we wore. And there's nowhere I'm wearing a hand-knitted Spider-Man jumper just because I told my mum I liked him once when I was 9. I urge you to support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. O'Farrell. Now let's hear from the delightful yet frugal Miss Cameron. Would you please oppose the motion that this House loves to shop?
Mr. Chairman, sir, it makes absolutely no difference to me whether you vote against me once again at the end of my speech, because I know the real answer from just looking at you. You do not love to shop. You're wearing practical and sensible clothing. That's basically a shopping trip that, you know, once or twice a year, you know, better get the jumper, better get the winter coat. I need a waterproof, some comfortable shoes. That's it. You are all practical shoppers, which means you don't love it. Yeah, half the audience here this evening are men. And sorry, guys, you know it. And I feel so sorry for you. You hate shopping. Men are just taken along. How many times have we seen them? Unhappy husband, boyfriend, partner, sitting there wishing he was somewhere else, with the boys in the pub, at home relaxing, reading the papers, whatever. But no, he's got to look over and show interest, enthusiasm for the wife or the girlfriend. As she utters once again, do I look all right in this? Also, the only good place to shop, of course, is America. And as you're not prepared to live there,
you've lost that one.
Then you have to stick to your shopping here. It is absolutely horrible. How many times do you go and feel under pressure to buy things because it's of such an unpleasant, crowded environment? And shop assistants, they hate people. Have you seen the look? You almost feel bad for asking for their assistance. And in those very trendy minimalist shops now you go into, you don't actually see anything for sale. And you don't understand who works there. Excuse me, do you work here? Excuse me, do you work here? And then there's someone standing with a rucksack on and they're actually serving, you know. This isn't ideal. And how many times, because of the stress and because of the pressure of having to get the winter coat, shall we use that as another example, you make a hasty purchase that you only regret later. And then you have to go through the trauma of taking it back with the receipt. And for some reason, you're made to feel that you're doing something wrong. So you have to bring along a friend as an alibi. In my head, ladies and gentlemen.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, point of order, Mr. Punt.
How can my honourable colleague be so virulently opposed to a subject which evidently provides so much observational comedy?
Because I only do comedy about things I hate. You know, they should add it to the list. Divorce, death, Christmas. These are all such stressful things. They should add shopping to that as well. I rest my case. And don't forget, I can see you. I know how you're dressed.
Thank you very much.
I feel this one could go down to the wire, but before you make your mind up, time for a little bit more cross-probing. Mr. Punt, like your colleague here, you're a shopaholic. What is it about shopping that really gets your juices flowing?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I find that the supermarket is an environment that is so flattering to my ego that I love to visit it. The supermarket is full of products which they know full well nobody is going to buy, but which they love to look at and think that one day they might buy.
Such as?
Such as the fish counter, Mr. Chairman. The fish counter is entirely designed for your average shopper to be able to stand there thinking, what shall I eat tonight? Shall I have a little tilapia, perhaps? A little grilled langoustine, some skate wings. So many choices, so many choices. I'll have cod and chips, please.
Thank you. John, have you ever shoplifted anything?
No, not as a child. I did recently subscribe to the Home Shoplifting Channel.
Right.
And what that is, you see something on the television and you ring them up and they nick it for you.
Okay, let's find out whether our audience likes to spend or save. Members of the House, if you agree that this House loves to shop, say aye.
Aye.
And if Fat Wallet stays in your trousers, say nay.
Nay.
At last, a victory for Rona and Derek.
Hooray!
Now, here's a motion close to my own heart. This House wants to be famous. Mr. Derek Draper, please enlighten us by proposing the motion, This House wants to be famous.
I want to live forever. I want to learn how to fly. When will I be famous? Fame. The kids from Fame, Ross and David Bowie, they knew what was what. Only one of them might have made it, but then look at him. A beautiful model wife, dinners with Tony Blair at Downing Street, and people flocking to buy his art. He's even turned himself into a company and sold himself on Wall Street. People work so hard at being famous because it's supposed to bring in its wake so many other things. Wealth, happiness, and perhaps even love. For fame is the spur. It's true that most celebrities spend the first part of their lives becoming well-known, and then the rest of their lives wearing dark glasses, booking hotel rooms under assumed names, and complaining about invasions of privacy, usually to a tabloid newspaper. But then that's another plus point of fame. It's a license to be a hypocrite. Fame's detractors will argue that it comes at a price. You can lose your real identity. But get real. Look at your average famous person. Imagine the non-famous identity. Would you want it? It's true there are downsides. For every flattering profile, there's a kiss and tell or old friend ready to dish the dirt. During those travails, the truly fame-bound will remember Oscar Wilde's dictum, the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. Sure, the sneerers will say, fame is the key to the door, but for every restaurant table you get, there'll be a meal disturbed by a fan. No, replied the truly sussed, if you eat in a restaurant full only of other famous people. But it's worth putting up with those downsides for one overwhelming reason, because the real reason for wanting to be famous is that if you're famous, you can behave in a totally ridiculous way. Naomi Campbell can be hours late for work day after day, you try it tomorrow morning. And when you get there, you can insult and patronise your colleagues like Chris Evans. You can gatecrash parties and get in, trash hotel rooms and get away, meet gorgeous people and get off. If you lose a little of yourself along the way, so what? You can always go on a talk show and open your heart about it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Draper. Said without a hint of bitterness. John O'Farrell, would you please take the stand and oppose the motion, This House Wants to be Famous?
Any woman here this evening who votes for being famous is basically saying, I want a stalker. They are saying, I want to walk into my bathroom in the morning and see a care in the community patient looking through the bathroom window saying, I've got our engagement ring. It may seem tempting, but we do not want to be famous. When you're a teenager, you don't want your mum and dad knowing about your first sexual experience, do you? Well, imagine if you were famous. The front page of The Sun's screaming, Gary Snog Sharon, exclusive. He lasted seconds, says Sharon. I mean, that's what it's like for famous people all the time. Des Lynam still getting up at 6 every morning to stop the paperboy dropping the Daily Mirror through his mum's letterbox. I mean, you know, one silly sexual transgression that it's all over the papers. One moment of weakness. Or several hundred moments of weakness in the case of Bill Clinton. Because if you make a mistake, that's all they remember you for. I mean, you say, oh, yeah, King Alfred, you're the bloke who burnt all those cakes, aren't you? Because, you know, I did do other things. You know, I did defeat the Danes at Uffington and secure safety for the Kingdom of Wessex. Sorry, I don't know how topical you want this. Fame is not something you can control. I mean, it'd be far better for Marilyn Monroe if she'd never been famous. It would be far better for John Lennon if he'd never been famous. And it would have been far better for all of us if Jeremy Beadle had never been famous.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, point of order. Go
ahead. It was the fact that they were famous that made those people. And I'm sure that even though it's a complete tragedy what happened to John Lennon and Marilyn Monroe, our lives are a little bit richer for knowing them.
Yeah.
Point of order denied. It was repulsive sentimentality.
Yes, you'd have a much, much happier life if you do a job where no one will ever recognise you, like telephone receptionist or Channel 5 presenter. And when you're a celebrity, people expect you to behave like your screen persona 24 hours a day. I mean, John Cleese can be carrying a coffin out of a church in a funeral, and the vicar will still say, yeah, go on, do one of those silly walks. It's fame as a drug. Once you've had a taste of it, you want more and more, and it's all you care about. You end up as a hopeless alcoholic or worse, a guest on Celebrity Squares. I urge you to support the motion. Thank you very much.
Rona?
Yes?
You're on the side of fame. How far would you go to be famous?
I'm really depressed now because I actually thought I was quite famous.
Yes, you are famous. And do you like it?
Yes, what little bits of experience I absolutely love. I love being lulled into a false sense of security. I love people I don't know liking me. Fame is, yeah, it's fantastic. A lot of the people here, you know, probably have to work all week for what I could make in a night.
Thank you. Let's have a few comments from our audience. Here's John from Highbury. It's not fame that matters, it's making a difference. There's a philosophical point to dwell on. Have you made a difference, Derek, do you think, in your life so far? Made a difference to anyone at all? Achieved anything of note? Fine.
Thank you.
Rachel from Lewisham. Fame, I also want to live forever. I want to learn how to fly, only I'm scared of heights. So that wouldn't work, would it? Yes, okay, on with the vote. All those who want to be famous, say aye.
Aye.
All those who don't want to be famous, say nay.
Nay.
The nays have it. Once more, a victory for Punt and O'Farrell. At last, we come to the exciting part of the show, time for a mystery motion which no one is prepared for. We're all going blind for this, so roll the tombola, please, Lulu. Thank you, Lulu. Here's a mystery motion. This house would never travel by plane. I propose this, please, Mr. Steve Punt.
No, never travel by plane. Flying is completely unnatural. And the main thing that's horrible about flying is that you have to pretend that you don't not like flying. And everyone is frightened of flying. And if when you fly, you have to sit there pretending, like reading High Life magazine and going, it's fine. And they train the pilots. They're specially trained pilots. They have to talk in that ridiculous voice. And they have to say, we'll be taking off to the southeast and we'll be cruising down to Malaga, fly about 2 hours. Lovely weather on the ground. Because they're not allowed to say, in just a few moments from now, we'll be achieving 200 miles an hour down the runway. And then we'll be relying on a volatile mixture of gases stored right under your feet to propel us 6 miles into the air, where we'll be hanging for 2 hours, kept there only by the forces of lift and drag. Do enjoy your flight with us. And you have to sit there going, yeah. Plus, the food's not very nice. So I would definitely propose that motion.
Thank you very much. Steve Punt. And to oppose the motion, this house would never travel by plane, Mr. Derek Draper.
Well, just think what you would miss. The drive to Heathrow through the clogged traffic, the duty-free, all those cut-price goods that you so desperately need and can't get elsewhere, like suntan oil, Durex and toothpaste, and the delicious food and excellent in-flight entertainment. Indeed, I hear that Chechen Airlines has just bought the entire archives of this very show. But the clincher for me is that I'm one of those people, like no doubt some of the audience, who when my ears pop, a little bit of wax pops out. Crystal clear hearing, at least until your next trip. What more can I say?
Thank you very much, Derek Draper. Well, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I just remember the film Alive. And I just remember that awful scene where those poor people who'd crashed in the Andes, they were there for 4 weeks before they finally realised that they had no choice but to eat the little peach halves with a glacé cherry in. I don't think anyone should have to go through that. And the last time I flew, the pilot said, this is your pilot speaking, does anyone know where Stansted is exactly?
Thank you. Let's throw it open to the audience. Those of you who believe in the motion, this house would never travel by plane, say aye.
Aye.
Those who disagree with the motion this House would never travel by plane say nay.
Nay.
The nays have it. The victors are Cameron and Draper.
Oh.
We're all on tenterhooks now. Here's a wonderful mystery motion to end with. This House believes that kissing in public should be banned. Please propose this motion, Steve Punt.
This House believes that kissing should be banned. This is barely a motion, ladies and gentlemen. This is a mere statement of fact. Kissing in public should be banned, and it should be banned for one very good reason. The only people who feel a compulsive need to kiss in public are invariably ugly people. When you see people with this terrible urge to snog, you can only see the sides of their faces while they're at it, but when they turn round, they're both finalists in the World Gurning Championships. And they're basically, these are people who could not get a snog when they're at school. So in adult life, they constantly feel this need in public to say, look, I've found someone now. It is a hideous sight, a sight that strikes fear into the heart on any late night train. And I urge the House to support this motion.
Thank you, Steve Bunn. Opposing the motion, this House believes that kissing in public should be banned. Rona Cameron.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think people live such difficult, miserable, pressured lives at the best of times, and I think sometimes to see a display of affection reminds us that there is some love in the world. Some good, some kindness in our hearts, ladies and gentlemen. Some passion, some sensuality, the things that get us through when life is difficult. And I think if you're going to start telling people they can't kiss, then maybe it will get worse. Then somebody will find that holding hands is offensive, embracing is offensive. In fact, we'll be leading miserable, unaffectionate, isolated, insular lives. I do not think kissing should be banned. Kissing is about love. It's about expression of love. And that's what drives us all as human beings.
Thank you very much, Serena Cameron. Thank you. Well, I think we ought to put it to the vote. Those who support the motion, this House believes that kissing in public should be banned, say aye.
Aye.
Those who refute the motion, this House believes that kissing in public should be banned, say nay.
Nay.
Do it. The nays have it. Another victory for Rona Cameron and Derek Draper.
Yay.
And that, alas, is the end of another scintillating week's debating. Many thanks to all the speakers, but special congratulations to this week's champion persuaders, Steve Punt and John O'Farrell. But before we go, some news from that other great debating chamber, the House of Commons. Plans are afoot to clone Betty Boothroyd, because to hear the BBC parliamentary broadcast in stereo, you need a pair of speakers. Goodbye.
The Motion Show was chaired by Dr. Phil Hammond. The speakers were Rona Cameron, Derek Draper, John O'Farrell and Steve Punt. It was devised by Bill Dare and the producer was Helen Williams.